In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'd like to welcome all of you to this church this morning. And of course, this is Chinese New Year, or the Lunar New Year. In fact, this is the seventh day of the Lunar New Year. Now, the Chinese has the custom of celebrating many, many days for the New Year. The Chinese, in fact, celebrate something like 15 days for the New Year. So it's a long celebration. Today is the seventh day of the Chinese New Year. And on behalf of the session members of the church, I want to greet you a very, very blessed New Year. Now, the Chinese custom would be to greet one another, Gong Hi Fa Choi, which means Happy New Year, and may your year be very, very prosperous materially. But then, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would rather greet you and call upon the Lord's blessings to be upon you. And so, in the words of the book of Numbers, which often are made use of as a benediction by preachers at the end of the worship service, I'd like to greet you on behalf of the session members a very, very blessed New Year. And may the Lord bless you in the New Year. Keep you in the New Year. May His face shine upon you, and may He be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and grant you peace in the New Year. So, have a very, very blessed year this year. Now, what shall we talk about on this auspicious day, the Chinese New Year, the seventh day of the Chinese New Year, or the Lunar New Year, more accurately? Now, of course, this being the year of the monkey, I would talk a little bit about monkeys. All right, see not, hear not, speak not. As we said, this is the year of the monkey, and those who believe in the Chinese almanac and who believe also in the characteristics of the monkey as laid out in the Chinese almanac would like to relate themselves or associate themselves with the characteristics of the monkey as laid out in the almanac. Yes, but the range of the characteristics is so wide that you can actually pick and choose what you want to pick. Yes, and of course, what would you pick? You of course pick the very good ones, right? Now let me give you a sample of what the range can be. I read this from the internet. Let me read for you. The monkey ranks ninth position in the Chinese zodiac. There are 12 animals. All right, the monkey ranks ninth position in the Chinese zodiac. They are cheerful and energetic by nature and usually represent flexibility. People under the sign of the monkey are wise, intelligent, confident, charismatic, loyal, inventive, and have leadership. So I'm born in the year of the monkey and say, that must be me. Yes. Now then, the weaknesses of the monkeys are being egoistical, arrogant, crafty, restless, and snobbish. You say, that cannot be me. So you see, we are very, very good at picking and choosing. And then we are very, very good at seeing the things we want to see, and very, very good at not seeing the things that we do not want to see. Now this reminds me of the proverbial three monkeys, all right? I'm sure you are very, very familiar with this picture. Yes, yes. I went into the net and tried to understand what the meaning of this three proverbial monkeys is. Now, according to the internet, according to the Japanese, the three monkeys together embody the proverbial principle, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. The monkeys are Nizaru. I don't know whether my Japanese is correct or not. Nizaru, covering the eyes, who sees no evil. Kikazaru, covering his ears, who hears no evil. And Iwazaru, covering his mouth, who speaks no evil. Now, there are various interpretations as to what these three proverbial monkeys mean. Yes, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Now, generally, the Eastern or the Oriental interpretation gives these three actions a good meaning. It says, these actions tell us that we are not to dwell on evil. Evil is bad, Therefore, we must cover our eyes, we must not see evil. Evil is bad, so we must cover our ears and not hear evil. Evil is bad, so we must not talk about evil. We must not dwell on evil. Now, that is the Eastern or the Oriental interpretation of the meaning of these three proverbial monkeys. Now, what about the Western interpretation? The Western interpretation, however, gives these three actions a bad meaning. The actions represent irresponsibility. Yes, they show that you don't care to take any action when you see evil. Yes, you don't care to take any action when you see evil. You cover your eyes, and when you hear evil, you just shut your ears. You don't care to hear about the evil. You don't care to take action. Or when you hear about evil, see evil, you won't dare or you won't want to speak out against evil. Now, I remember when I was a kid, when there was a big commotion outside our home, when a robbery or a theft had taken place, my mother would not allow us to witness the commotion. And so what she would very quickly do was, we were staying in the upstairs room, and mother would very, very quickly shut the windows. She didn't allow us to see the commotion outside. Now, she was very, very afraid that the thief outside might see us witnessing the crime and would come after us to hurt us, to silence the witness. She possibly did not dare to take a stand as a witness against the thief if the thief was caught. As it were, she shut her eyes and wanted us to shut our eyes so that we would not see the evil. Now, her protective care over us outweighed her responsibility to do that which was a civic responsibility to perform. Now, of course, morally, I would say that she should not have shut the windows. She should have kept her eyes wide open and be able to identify the thief if she was called upon to identify. That's easy for me to say, of course. You see, truly, we are all quite capable of pretending that we do not see, very, very good at pretending that we do not hear, and very, very good at not wanting to do anything. Yes, not wanting to say anything, not wanting to speak out against evil when we see evil. Now, my friends, that is irresponsibility. So let's consider, first of all, this morning, the Western interpretation of the actions of these three monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Shut off. Yes, people are irresponsible if they behave in this manner. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Yes, these are really inactions. You do nothing. Now, for example, when people see a man beating up his wife, they will not care to report that man to the police. They see, but they don't take action. Or when they see drunken youths destroying public properties, they don't care to do anything. They don't care to report to the police. Yes, or when they see a church leader being unfaithful to his wife, they don't care to report the church leader to the church concerning his unfaithful behavior. And then when they see the company involved in very illegal practices, they do not dare to blow the whistle, or they don't care to blow the whistle. I dare say all these kinds of inactions are really representative of irresponsibility. But as friends, I dare say that we are very, very good at judging other people. When people are filled with this kind of inactions, we say that they are irresponsible. Now, we are very, very good at judging other people. Yes, but what about ourselves? Can we also be guilty of inaction with regards to evil? Can we? Yes, can we be irresponsible? I say we surely can. You see, the problem with us is that when we think of evil, what do we think of? We straight away think of the evil of other people. We don't think of our own evil. That's the problem. So when we talk about selfishness, we talk about the selfishness of other people. About me? No, I'm not selfish. When we talk about dishonesty, we talk about other people's dishonesty. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not dishonest. When we talk about, think of gossipers, we think, oh, it's other people who gossip. I don't gossip. So we choose not to talk about our own sins. We shut our mouths to our own sins. But then, when we open our mouths to talk about our own sins, you know what? As I said many times before, we are very, very good at giving nice names to our sins, our wrongdoings. When other people are tight-fisted, we say they are stingy. But when we are tight-fisted, we say, oh, we are only being prudent. You see? Now, then when people take risks, we say they are being careless. Yes, but when we take risks, we say, you see how brave and how courageous I am. Or when people interfere with the affairs of other people, we say they are busybodies. Now, but when we interfere with the affairs of other people, we say we are being concerned. You see how good we are at giving our sins very, very good names. Now, but what's the truth, my dear friends? The truth is we are full of evil in our heart. Now, that's not my opinion. That's what God says. God says this in His Word. If you turn to the sheet of paper that is in your insert, which is your insert in the bulletin today, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Let me read that verse to you. All right, it's somewhere in the middle of the page. Yes. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Let me read that verse to you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, who says this, my dear friends? It is God who says it. It is not anybody who says it, but it is God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, we do not like to hear it, but it is true. The heart is desperately wicked. We shut our eyes and our ears to our own sins. And we might want to shut the mouths of other people when we talk about our sins. In fact, we might shut our eyes and shut our ears to our sins to the extent that we would even deceive ourselves into thinking that we do not have sin at all in our hearts. And if we have sins in our heart, we say, oh, our sins are so small. There's nothing for us to be concerned about because they are so small. Nothing to be concerned about. And then we might take one step further. We might think that our goodness, yes, our righteousness are good, great enough to enable us to enter into heaven after we pass away from this earth. After all, we say out to ourselves, after all, I would not do unto others as I would not others do unto me. After all, I'm a good citizen. Yes, I perform my civic duties. I pay my tax. I'm a good father. I provide for my family. I'm a good, I take care of my children. I provide for them. I give them a good education. I'm a good husband. I'm a faithful husband. I'm a good employee. If you don't believe, check with my employer. I don't cheat. I'm honest. Time and again, my dear friends, don't we meet with such people. Regardless of age, regardless of race, we meet such people. And regardless of sex, I met this Caucasian Aussie in a club. I tried to tell him the true condition of his heart. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. You think he'll love to hear that? No, my dear friends, mentally he shut his mind, he shut his eyes, mentally he had shut his ears. And then very, very politely, he also wanted to shut my mouth, actually. And so he said this to me. He said to me, at the end of the day, I think I'm all right. What he was trying to tell me was this, at the end of the day, if there is such a place known as heaven, I will get there. That was what he was trying to tell me. You think a Chinese man would be any different? No, no difference. I met this Chinese man in the park one day, and I tried to share with him the gospel. I got almost the same answers from him. He said, oh, I've never lied, I've never cheated, I'm honest. He told me that. When he talks about honesty and not cheating, of course he was referring to being guilty of, let's say, robbing the bank or swindling the bank of millions of dollars. As far as he was concerned, his little sins were no sins at all. They were not wickedness as far as he was concerned. My dear friends, so that is how good people are at sharpening their eyes and their ears to the wickedness that is in them. They would deceive themselves into thinking that they are all right. They have enough righteousness. They have enough goodness in them to enter into heaven. That's what people think. Now, this behavior reminds me of the children's story written by Hans Christian Andersen about the emperor's new clothes. I don't know whether you know the story of the emperor's new clothes. When I was a young boy, we used to listen to radio stories, and this was one of the stories I heard. Now, this emperor was, let me narrate to you if you do not know this story. Now, this emperor was obsessed with wearing new clothes because he always wanted to look his best, and his best, of course, must be better than other people. So obsessed was he that one day he invited two weavers to come to his palace to sew him a set of new clothes for him to exhibit himself at the upcoming royal parade. Now, these two weavers were crooks, right? They knew the weakness of the emperor, and they came, and then they pretended to measure the size of the emperor and so on and so forth. And then they said to this emperor, "These clothes that we are going to sew, I'm going to fashion for you, will be such that it is invisible to those people who are not fit to be in the positions that they are in. So if you are fit to be in the position you are in, you'll be able to see the clothes. If not, you'll not be able to see the clothes." Of course, the emperor thought he was emperor, so he must be able to see the clothes. So came the day of the royal parade. The two weavers came, and of course, they tried to dress the emperor up, and so forth. And the emperor looked at himself in the mirror. Of course, what did he see? He saw himself as being stark naked. But these two weavers said, "Your Majesty, you look great. You look glorious. You look so wonderful." Emperor said, "Yes, yes, yes, of course, I do, yes." And then the parade went off as organized, and everybody in the street started cheering the emperor. Everybody had to pretend that they saw the emperor in his new clothes. Everybody had to pretend, because if they could not see the emperor's new clothes, it meant that they were not fit to be in the positions that they were in. Then a little boy cried out, "Mommy, why is the emperor naked?" Of course, the emperor had to shut his eyes to his nakedness. He wanted to see that he was fit to be the emperor. Friends, that's the truth about ourselves. Yes, we are very, very good at shutting our ears and our eyes to our sins. We don't want to see them. We don't want to talk about them. Yes, we like to see ourselves as being good enough. Just like that Caucasian man that I told you about, just like that Chinese man that I told you about. Yes, we all like to see that we are good enough. But friends, the true condition of the heart is this. It is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. Not what I said, but friends, this is what the one true living God says from his word, from the book of Jeremiah. Now this morning, I want to talk about the sins in us. And I urge you not to shut your ears. I urge you not to shut your eyes. I mean your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes. You see, God is very kind to us, very, very gracious to us. He has planted this thing called the conscience in us. All of us have a conscience. Now, we have this conscience. Now, this conscience is not a perfect conscience, because this conscience has been damaged, spoiled by our sins. Now, this conscience, of course, tries to speak to us. The message from the conscience is not always perfect, but many times the conscience does say the truth. It tells us something about, it tells us what is good and what is bad, albeit not perfectly. But we are very, very good at telling conscience something. You know what we are good at telling conscience? We tell conscience, "You shut up." That's what we are very good at telling our conscience. Did you realize that? Yes. And then, even if our conscience does speak to us, and even if we allow our conscience to speak to us, and even if our conscience can speak to us in a very, very accurate manner, still our conscience can only tell us where we have gone wrong. Our conscience is not able to tell us how we may be able to get right with God. It is not able to do so. Only God's word can. Only God's word can tell us where we have gone wrong, how we have gone wrong, and how we may be able to make right with God, the word of God. Yes, the truth of God. Yes, it is only his word that can tell us what our sins we are exactly guilty of. Now this morning, as you sit in the pew, God wants to speak to you. And I trust, my dear friends, that you, as I said earlier on, that you will not shut your ears. You will not shut your eyes, your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes, but open them and listen and see the truth from God's word. And I trust that you will not mentally tell this speaker here to shut his mouth. I hope you are not doing that. But this morning, open your eyes, open your ears to the commandments given by the one true living God. God has given us 10 commandments. All right, I'll just focus on the last 5 commandments. Not the first 5, but the last 5. Okay, the last 5, number 6 will be, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit murder, in other words. Then 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. 8, thou shalt not steal. 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, thou shalt not lie. And then 10, thou shalt not covet. You know what God says? God says, you have broken all my laws. That's the truth. You have broken all my laws, God says. He says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all means all, regardless of race, regardless of sex, regardless of age. All have sinned, no matter how good you are. My dear friends, you have sinned as far as God is concerned. But you might argue and say, no. It can't be true. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit murder. I've never committed murder, God. How can you say I'm guilty of murder? You know, the word of God says this. You don't have to take a gun or you don't have to take a knife to kill anybody to be guilty of murder. So long as you entertain hatred in your heart. If you have hated somebody ever before, you have already committed murder. That's what the word of God says. And then the word of God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, I've never committed adultery. Know this truth, friends. All forms of sexual sins fall under this category. Yes, if you have sinned in any sexual way, my dear friends, you have committed adultery as far as God is concerned. And the Lord Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, it is not necessary that you sleep with a woman to be committing adultery with her. So long as you see a woman and you lust after a woman who is not your wife, you have already committed adultery with her. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Thou shalt not steal. He said, no, I have not stolen. When you say I have not stolen, what you mean is I have not stolen in a big way. But the truth of the matter is we have stolen. All of us. Now, our employer employs us and expects us to work 8 hours per day, right? I don't know how many hours people work here, but you get a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. So let's suppose that you are to work 8 hours per day, but you work 6 hours and the rest of the 2 hours, you make use of them to do your own thing. My dear friends, if you did that, you are guilty of theft. You have already stolen 2 hours from your employer. Then what about time? Have you stolen time? I say you have. For example, you know that there are times when you are supposed to give time to your wife or give time to your children, but you use that time for yourself. My dear friends, you are guilty of theft. You don't realize it, but you're really guilty of theft. You've stolen the time from your children, you've stolen time from your wife. It's the same, all right? Wife, you're supposed to give time to your husband. You didn't give enough time to your husband, you are guilty of theft. You have stolen time from your husband, you've stolen time from your children. Yes, and thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not lie. But today people say, I can't survive if I don't lie. In my kind of work, I must lie. If I don't lie, I can't survive. My dear friends, whatever the circumstances may be, whatever the lies may be, big lies, small lies, black lies, white lies, they are lies as far as God is concerned. You have lied as far as God is concerned. And then if you have made a promise and you know that you can't fulfill that promise and you still make that promise, my dear friends, you have actually lied. You don't realize it, but you've actually lied. Now then, thou shalt not covet. What it means is, you know, you long for things that don't belong to you. Your neighbors have them, you don't have them, you want to have them. My dear friends, that's covetousness. Yes? So you see, we cannot deny that we are guilty of breaking God's laws. Guilty! Yes? Now, after having been shown your sins from God's word, I call them sins because God's word calls them sins. After having been shown your sins from God's word, you might still shut your eyes and your ears to your sinfulness. You might say that, actually, you know, we are all very good at saying this. Actually, I'm quite moral. Yes, you can actually be quite moral in your own eyes and in the eyes of your fellow man. But friends, let's open our ears, open our eyes to what God has to say from His Word. Look at the sheet that has been given out to you, please. Isaiah 64:6. Okay, found a verse? Isaiah 64:6. In the sheet given to you, Isaiah 64:6. Let's read that verse together. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You think you have righteousness. You think you have morality. My dear friends, as far as God is concerned, they are filthy rags in His sight. Nothing is clean in His sight. Your righteousness, no matter how righteous it is, my dear friends, is actually a piece of filthy rag in the sight of God. Why? Because you are dealing with a God who is absolutely holy. That's why. He's absolutely holy. And understand this truth from God's word. Yes, it is not because you have sinned and then you become sinful. It's not that. It's not that I sin, then I become sinful. It is because you have been sinful, that's why you sin. The truth is, we are all born sinners. And that's the truth. Born sinners. This man of God, the great King David, the man after God's own heart, understand this truth. He said this in Psalm 51 verse 5. It's also found in the sheet given to you. 51 verse 5, I read for you. All right, maybe we should read this verse together also. Let's read it. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. My dear friends, the truth is, we were already little sinners when we were in our mother's womb. When we were fetuses in our mother's womb, we were already little sinners. And that's the truth. That's why we are born sinners. Now, I've heard this comment made by godly Christian mothers. All right? These mothers are godly Christian mothers about their little toddlers. And they're very, very concerned about their little toddlers. They love their little toddlers very much. And that's what they say. And this is what they say. They say, it's very scary. They say, it's scary to see my little ones behaving in this manner. They tell lies. Little ones telling lies. They know how to lay blame. It's other people, not me. Yes, they tell us, know how to lay blame, and they know how to deceive. And they know how to give the appearance of innocence when they are actually guilty. And the mother said, we have never taught them all these naughty things. They simply know how to be naughty. And that's the truth. Mothers, am I right? Yes, no. All right. Yes, you see you are smiling. I'm right, okay? So friends, we are born sinners. That's why we sin. And what's the consequence of sin, my dear friend? Let's listen to the word of God. Romans 6:23, you find a verse in that sheet given out to you. And this is the consequence. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, we are born sinners. And being born sinners, we are slaves to sin. That's why the word of God says, for the wages of sin is death. Death is our master. Friends, death is our master. Sin is our master. Sin is our master. And as a master, and we being his slaves, his servants, he pays us wages. And what does he pay us with? For the wages of sin is death. He pays us with this thing called death. And what is death? Death is not just simply passing away physically. Death is also separation from the one true living God. Separation. Spiritually separated from the source of life. God is the source of life. We are separated from Him. Spiritually separated from Him. And therefore, we do not have spiritual life. In other words, spiritually, we are dead. Dead, separated from Him. And if we continue to be in that state, unrepentant, my dear friends, when we pass away from this earth, we continue to be in that state, separated from Him for all eternity. And for all eternity, my dear friends, we will have to face the wrath of God. We will have to face the punishment of God. That is why the Word of God refers to us as children of wrath. There is a phrase in the Word of God that refers to us as children of wrath. In other words, when we pass away from this earth, our destiny is to face the eternal wrath of the one true living God. So, friends, we seem to be in a very, very desperate situation. And in truth, we are, friends. But thank God, this God of ours is not only the perfectly holy God, perfectly righteous God, but this God of ours is love. And his love for us is perfect, perfect love. Yes, his love for us is absolutely, absolute. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for us. On the cross of Calvary, he shed his precious blood for us to redeem us unto himself, to buy us back unto himself by his precious blood. And we read in Romans 5:8, this verse is also found in the sheet given out to you. All right, I read for you this verse. But God commendeth, or God demonstrates his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Now that our sins have been paid for, Christ died for us, Christ died for the sins of the world. Now that our sins have been paid for, God can very justly forgive us of our sins. But not until then. Yes, if Jesus did not die for us, God could not have forgiven us of our sins. Because if he were to do that, he would be unjust, because our sins were not paid for. But now our sins have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. God is in the position to forgive us of our sins. So, my dear friends, open your spiritual ears. Open your spiritual eyes this morning and see and hear, and then believe in God's word. Take responsibility. Don't shut your ears, don't shut your eyes. Take responsibility concerning your soul, concerning your eternal destiny. Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Trust in his precious blood shed for you and ask him to come into your life. And if you mean it, my dear friend, sincerely mean it, a wonderful thing will take place. He will give you this wonderful gift. It is a gift. It is a gift. The gift of eternal life. So we read that same verse again, Romans 6:23. You see this wonderful gift God gives to us? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't work for this everlasting life. It is given to us free of charge, friends, a gift, free gift. And this gift is available to us because Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood for us. And now, when we come to the Lord Jesus, we ask for forgiveness, we stretch out our hands by faith to receive this gift will be given to us. Yes, but friends, having received this gift, you must open your mouth to confess the Lord. There is no such a thing as a secret believer. If you really believe, then you must confess him. Jesus has made it very, very clear. He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. So it is necessary that we confess him. If we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. So with our mouth, we must confess him. In other words, demonstrate truly that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today is the day of salvation, not another day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for another day, because that another day that you wait for may not come. You may not see, or you may not live to see that day. Now in my life, I'm very, very sorry to say that I've given the gospel to some people, but when I give the gospel to them, they did not open their spiritual ears. They did not open their spiritual eyes to the truth of the gospel. And they never received the gospel. And the sad thing is, as I said, it's something very sad. I never saw them again. Because that was the last time I saw them. And I never saw them again. Case in point would be my brother. I remember some trips ago back to Singapore at a family reunion. I met this brother of mine at the reunion. I mean, he had heard the gospel before. We tried to give him the gospel before. And that evening, I said, "Brother, come, sit down. Let me talk to you." But he walked away. I don't understand why, up to today, I don't understand why he walked away. Whether he couldn't hear me, he didn't hear me, or he just refused to hear me, and he walked away. How sad, because that was the last time I saw him. I came back, then a few couple of months later, I heard that he suddenly passed away. How sad. He never got another chance to hear the gospel. My friends, today is the day of salvation. This could be one opportunity that you have. The day of your salvation, but you choose not to make it a day of salvation, my dear friends, you might not be able to see another day. A day of your salvation. Now, also don't shut your ears and don't shut your eyes when God's truth is presented to you like it is being presented to you this morning. Because you really do not know when God is going to give you up. You say, "God is so patient, how can he give me up?" My dear friends, God is very, very patient, very long-suffering indeed. But my dear friends, if you keep rejecting his truth, you hear the truth, you keep rejecting his truth, my dear friends, one day God might just give you up. And the word of God says this, he might just give you over to a reprobate mind, which means a mind that is void of judgment, not able to make the correct judgment, not able to come to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You'll be like the Jews whom the prophet Isaiah was sent to speak to. Yes, the passage that we read at the start before the message. Yes, God sent prophets after prophets to speak to his people, the Jews. Prophets after prophets after prophets were sent to them. But they rejected the prophets, they rejected the messages, they shut their ears, they shut their eyes to the messages, and they would even kill the prophets. That's what they did. And finally, what did God do? God's patience, as it were, ran out, you might say. And finally, God brought his final judgment upon his people. God, as it were, gave them up. And so we read this sad truth. You turn to Isaiah chapter 6, the sheet that is given to you, and look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. You see this sad truth. It's really very, very sad. Okay? Verse 9. And he said, meaning God said, God said to Isaiah, and he said, it means God said to Isaiah. God gave Isaiah this command. Isaiah was a prophet who lived about 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said to Isaiah, "Go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not." Can you imagine? You hear, but you don't understand. "And see ye indeed, but perceive not. You see, but you cannot perceive. You cannot understand. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes." In other words, preach and cause them to be spiritually blind. Can that happen? My dear friends, it can. So God says here, "Lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." In other words, God had given them over to a reprobate mind. Yes, they were not going to understand, they were not going to come to believe. My dear friends, today may be the last time you're hearing the gospel. Maybe the last time. Might be the final time. Beyond this time, your ears might be made so heavy, your eyes might have been shut because God's judgment has come down upon you. Because you refuse to listen, and God has given you over to a reprobate mind. He has given up on you. That's what it means. So friends, let not that happen to you. Today is the day of salvation. If the gospel has been given to you before, you've heard the gospel, today you are hearing the gospel again, don't reject it, my dear friends. Don't let this happen to you. Don't be like the Jewish people whom God sent his prophet Isaiah to speak to. Don't be like them. Open your hearts and come to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Now I will briefly talk about the Eastern interpretation of the actions of these three monkeys. All right, the interpretation, I said, has got a good meaning. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Evil is bad, so don't see evil. Evil is bad, so don't hear evil. Evil is bad, so don't talk about evil. In other words, don't dwell on them. Don't let your mind dwell on them. Now that must necessarily happen to us, my dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. our whole system must not be dwelling on evil. We must make a 180-degree turn from sin and turn to the one true living God. We must repent. In other words, repent. The Lord tells us this truth. We who have believed in Him have become new creatures, new creations, as it were. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We must not be dwelling on our sins. We mustn't. The Lord says it very, very clearly. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. It is absolutely, absolutely necessary that we repent. If you have trusted in the Lord, you must repent. But sad to say, there are those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but after they have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not bring forth fruits of repentance. How sad! They must be bringing fruits of repentance, but they don't. They are still the same as they were before. Now, this was the observation made by two Christian doctors about the patients that they saw. These people were people who on their deathbed professed to be believers, and then subsequently they recovered from their illnesses. All right, let me read to you what I read. First, this American doctor said, he said he had known 100 or more instances, in other words, 100 or more patients that he saw in his practice, of people who, in prospect of death, had been hopefully converted but had afterwards recovered. They appeared to be dying, but then they recovered. And in the meantime, they professed faith in Jesus Christ. And of all these, he only knew of 3 out of 100 who devoted themselves to the service of Christ when they got well. What happened to the 97? My dear friends, did they truly repent from their sins? This doctor said, only three devoted themselves to the service of Christ. An English doctor once told that he had known 300 sick people who professed repentance and faith when they thought that they were dying, but who afterwards recovered. Only 10 of these gave evidence of reality by a change of life. Only 10. Yes, the rest didn't show any fruit of repentance. Did they really repent? Were they really saved? My dear friends, we can't tell. Yes, hard to say that they were believers, because if a person truly believes, he must necessarily repent from his sins. Because Jesus has made it very clear, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Yes, so for a conversion to be true, a person must stop dwelling on evil. Yes, he must turn to the one true living God and bring forth fruits of repentance and righteousness. He cannot be the same as he was before. He's a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, my dear friends, if you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't dwell on evil. Repent. Stop doing bad. Start doing good and continue to do good. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Look at those verses. Very quickly, look at them. I try to explain a little bit as we go along. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Let me read for you. Verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. My dear friends, these are fruits of repentance, fruits of righteousness. Have compassion one to another. Love as brethren. In other words, we must love our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be pitiful, be compassionate, be sympathetic, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. In other words, don't be revengeful, but contrarywise, show forth blessing. When people hurt us, don't return in kind, but rather show forth blessing towards them. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. In other words, you desire to have a blessed life on this earth, a joyous life on this earth, and you desire to see good days on this earth. Then refrain your tongue from evil. If you have truly repented, you must refrain your tongue from evil and refrain, and his lips, that they speak no guile, speak no evil. Let him eschew evil. Let him hate evil, do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. In other words, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be seeking peace. Peace with God. Peace with our fellow men. Peace with our fellow believers. And we must pursue peace. As we celebrate the start of the Year of the Monkey, let's learn some very, very precious lessons from the behavior of these proverbial monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Let us not be irresponsive in regards to our sins. Let's take actions. Yes, let's take actions. Let us not shut our eyes, let us not shut our ears to evil. But friends, let's open our ears and our eyes to God's word. Yes, and remember what God's word says. Open our ears and listen to what God's word says. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Therefore, my dear friends, we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to have a new heart, to have a cleansed heart, a new heart. We must come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Believe on Him as our Lord and Savior. Believe that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. Believe that He shed His precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary to cleanse us of all sins. And then, my dear friends, we must necessarily repent. Our profession of faith will be empty if we do not repent from our sins. We must repent from our sins. And then what it means, friends, we must not dwell on evil, yes, but stop doing evil, turn away from evil, do that which is good. Turn to the one true living God. If we don't repent from our sins and turn to the one true living God and bring forth fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance, my dear friends, we cannot be assured of our salvation. The truth is, we might be heading for eternal hell, we might be heading for eternal punishment. So this morning, my dear friends, as we come to the close of this worship service, I urge you, my dear friends, not to forget these words. Open your ears, open your eyes, see these spiritual things, the truth from the Word of God, and turn to Him. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now, before I pray, I would like to say this to you. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, please come and see me, see any of the leaders of the church. If you are interested to know more about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you say that my eyes are open now, my ears are open now, I want to know more, please talk to me about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will be very happy to do that. Please come and talk to us. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, thank you for your kindness, thank you for your goodness. O Lord, we pray that we may all learn precious lessons from this behavior of these three proverbial monkeys. Lord, we pray that we may open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Help us to take responsibility concerning the eternal destiny of our soul. Help us, O Lord God, to open our hearts to your truth and cause us, O Lord God, to behold wondrous truth out of your word of life and come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning. Father, we pray that we may not neglect this salvation and help us to understand that today may be the day of our salvation. We pray, O Lord God, that we may not reject the Lord but come and trust in Him as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray that you will be with us throughout the day, and we pray for those who do not know you as Lord and Savior this morning. We pray that if they have any question, we pray that they may be bold enough, moved by your Holy Spirit, to come to speak to any of the leaders of the church. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.